Discover the leader in you with Dr. Jason Carthen. Former New England Patriot turned PhD, Dr. Jason brings a new brand of inspiration and passion to audiences worldwide. Having served and consulted with Fortune 500 companies, the NFL Players Association, and the White House, each week, Dr. Jason will prescribe empowering, motivational, life-changing medicine for your soul. It's time to discover the leader in you. Now, here's Dr. Jason.
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. We are excited to have you on the show today. It is always a privilege to bring new and refreshing content to you on Discover the Leader in You. And today is no different. We're going to be talking about leading well in a nonprofit setting, and specifically, what are some of the differences that occur in a nonprofit setting versus a corporate setting. And I'm really excited today because we have Miss Amelia Gibbon, who is the executive director of the Friendly Center in Toledo, Ohio. She's going to be sharing some very unique perspectives on what it's like to actually lead in a nonprofit setting. And she has a wealth of information. She is a thought leader in her respective area of influence. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later on. But again, I want everyone to realize there is a unique difference between the nonprofit sector and the corporate sector. And if you start to blend the two, there are some benefits, but there are also some challenges that you have to think about in that way. So now, I would be remiss if I didn't remind everyone that if you go to our website at www.jasoncarthen.com, you are actually able to, for a limited time, download 3 free success videos from my website. And I think that you will really be empowered and grow from these videos. They'll come straight to you in your inbox, and you have an opportunity to look at them on your own time and grow and develop in your own area of influence. So definitely connect with us. I think you will like those videos, and we want to stay in contact with you anyway. Make sure you visit the site and take a look around. We got a lot of new stuff going on there. Okay, now without further ado, I want to welcome Amelia Gibbon to Discover the Leader in You. Now, Amelia Gibbon has been a leader in a nonprofit arena for over 20 years, everybody. Now, that is nothing to take lightly. When you think about the nonprofit sector and the fundraising and the events and just the due diligence that takes place, to be a leader for over 20 years is nothing to shake a stick at, okay? Miss Amelia also serves as co-chair for United Way's Leadership Development Initiative, and we all know about the great things that the United Way is doing in the community, and it's good for her to be on that board. That's huge in that way. One other thing, and it's so many things, we just choose not to share all of it, but she was recently nominated by the State of Ohio's Commission on Minority Health for the 2014 Shiro Award. Now, that is somebody who is moving and shaking in the community. Let's welcome Amelia Gibbon to the show. Hey, Amelia, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Dr. J?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you asked. I mean, I've been looking forward to this show. I know that you have a lot of information that you can share. One of the things that I want to ask you now, you know, what are some of the key initiatives that you're doing in the community, and how are those initiatives impacting the community? And keep it real with us here.
One of the things that I'm most excited about for our local community is our HBC initiative. HBC stands for Health by Choice. It is a joint collaboration between the Friendly Center and the Martin Luther King Jr. Kitchen for the Poor. Leadership at the kitchen, as well as myself, sat down and we had a discussion about this issue of health in the minority communities and how can we, in our daily walk, begin to affect change in that area. Now, both of us have a hot meals program. We provide food to those individuals in our community who cannot meet that basic need of fulfilling hunger. They, you know, they're hungry. Every day they show up looking to us to help them to meet that need. And so, you know, we agreed along with our boards collectively that, you know, there's a moral obligation that we have to make sure that whatever food we provide to our neighbors is as healthy as we could possibly make it. You know, our neighbors themselves are not worried about health right now. They just want to get full because they're hungry. But we understand that there are a lot of health disparities attached to the minority communities that can be directly tied to lack of proper nutrition and education around nutrition. So with the Health by Choice initiative, we are committed to providing healthier food in our hot meals program, but we also have a couple other outcomes that are attached to this project. The second outcome is actually putting community advocates on the ground to go and meet our neighbors where they are and to begin to talk about, you know, the benefits of proper nutrition and how, in spite of living in food deserts, because both areas of service, we have food deserts. There are not any mainstream grocery stores available. And so our neighbors have very little access to healthy food. Most of them walk to the local corner store.
Well, let me cut in here, Miss Amelia, because this is great. I don't want people to miss this. You used a few terms there that, you know, I want to understand. You said food desert. Okay,
right.
That's huge. I don't think we as Americans a lot of times realize that we have cars. We can go and do these things. We can go and get the basic necessities. But that's not the case for everyone, and it sounds like if you're in a food desert, then you're not going to have access. And so what does that do to, you know, what you're going to eat? What does that do to your diet, and possibly even what does that do relative to childhood obesity? We hear about that a lot.
Well, I mean, it's just the impact of living in a food desert is really far-reaching, and it's something as basic as obviously not having access to healthy food, fresh fruits and vegetables. But if you think about the long-term impact, because you do not have access to this food, our children go to school hungry. Okay, so now you're hungry and you can't concentrate. So that's going to impact your ability to learn.
Oh my.
That's going to impact your grades. So that means that that's one more barrier for you to graduate from high school.
Oh my. Okay.
Living in a food desert where, you know, we have a single-headed household female who has very limited dollars, you know, sometimes it's much easier to go to the local McDonald's and walk through and get the dollar menu because you have limited dollars and you can actually feed your kids at least for a moment with hamburgers and fries, you know, whatever the case may be, as opposed to being able to go to the grocery store and take those dollars and actually stretch them. And by stretching them, you will spend less on food, but you have healthier food, and then you can take those dollars and impact your budget by making sure that the kids have socks or shoes, or you can pay your rent on time. So, you know, we talk about lack of food, and you talk about resources attached to food, you know, those resources can impact every aspect of your life. And so, you know, people assume, okay, you're hungry, we can give you free food. Free food is not always good food either, because a lot of our donors are excited to help, and they'll donate leftover wedding cake as opposed to fresh green vegetables.
Oh, wait a minute.
So, wait a minute.
So you are really keeping it real. Thank you for that.
I need to cut in.
Let me ask you, and this is good because we're going to go back and forth. I love this. So you're telling me if someone's hungry, Miss Amelia, and they haven't had anything to eat, we should kind of moderate what we give to them? Is that the messaging you're sharing?
Absolutely. You know, when we talk, one of our responsibilities in the HBC program, our commitment also is to educate donors about donating food. You know, because being a good leader, leaders always have great stories to reach out to their audience so people begin to understand what the work that they do. So allow me briefly to share with you one of my favorite stories.
All right, you know, go ahead.
So what happens is, you know, for instance, when I first came on board as the executive director of the Friendly Center, we had donors who would give us donuts and cookies and cakes, you know, all that good stuff. And they were doing good well in their mind, you know, but I had to have a very real conversation. I have seniors who have health problems, hypertension, diabetes. And so the seniors would get really excited because their budgets would not allow them to go out and purchase donuts and cookies and all that good stuff. So they would get here every day. We had those donations and everybody would be feeling warm and fuzzy, except yours truly, because what I saw was my seniors on walkers trying to hurry up and get to these donuts and, you know, this cake. And I'm thinking, no, you have health issues. The nurse is telling us this. And so am I really doing you a disservice by providing this type of food to you? I understand that your budget would not allow you to have these treats, but these treats invariably impact your health and your quality of life.
So,
you know, where's the fine line there? Because in the world of nonprofit, you talk about the differences between nonprofit and the world of for-profit, and it's always the bottom line. So in the world of for-profit, it's the dollar, but in the world of nonprofit, it's your ability to affect change and to change the lives of people. That's what we're always looking for. So am I, in all good consciousness, as a leader, by providing unhealthy food, am I impacting my bottom line in a positive way? Because my neighbors feel good because they're eating something and they have access to food they can't normally afford. But at the end of the day, what is the long-term implications of providing unhealthy food?
Oh, my. Okay. Well, you know what? I think this is a great segue here. But, you know, it's interesting because you are talking about much more than just providing certain things like food or whatever it may be. You are dealing with the whole person. You're dealing with everything that may be going on with them at that point. And as a leader, you are not only influencing, it sounds like you are really taking a level of responsibility for others in your role at the Friendly Center. Would you say that's a true assessment?
Yes, I think that is absolutely a true assessment. That is, for me, when we talk about leadership and we talk about, we'll just pause for a moment, talk about Good to Great, which is one of the best pieces of reading material out there for any leader. And we talk about aspiring to level 5 leadership, and a level 5 leader, you know, takes ownership. First and foremost, you always look inwardly, you know, what can I do better as a leader? How can I impact my organization? And so for me, if I don't raise the bar and say to those who I come in contact with, other partners in this work or my staff, if I don't challenge everyone to look at the next level of impact, it's not just meeting that immediate need of hunger, it's how, what we are doing to impact long-term behavior changes in our neighborhood.
Absolutely. Well, let's do this. Miss Amelia, you just throwing a whole bunch of stuff at us on Discover the Leader in You today. And if someone wanted to take a look at your website or get involved with some of the things that you are doing, where would they go? Can you direct us?
Yes, they can go to our website, www.friendly-center.org.
Okay.
We are updating our website, so bear with us. But our goal is to make it a little bit more user friendly and to have the opportunity to highlight also the work of our community partners, because we're all, you know, heading the same direction. We have different paths. So one of the reasons why we chose to update our website is to make sure we're more inclusive about the entire work. You know, collective impact is huge in the world of nonprofit.
Yes, it is. What about Facebook? Are you on Facebook at all, or are you on Twitter?
Yes, Facebook, FC Toledo.
FC Toledo. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, good stuff. I know that you are doing quite a bit. And you know what? One of the things that I want to get into the meat of, okay, we start talking about leading well in a nonprofit setting. You know, one of the things that I really want to hear from you, because I've walked this path too, you know, and there are some very unique differences between corporate and nonprofit. So what are some of the unique differences that you understand related to being in a nonprofit setting versus a corporate, you know, top-down hierarchical model that says, hey, you know, you do this, you do that, you know, you get your paycheck? What are some of the unique differences? And I have a couple of follow-up questions for you.
Well, going back to my first statement, I definitely think that the bottom line, you know, again, in the world of for-profit, we talk about, you know, the dollar being the bottom line, how we can increase that. And I think in the world of nonprofit, that bottom line translates into the organization's ability to affect change. Mm-hmm. And that's important. So those two things within themselves dictate different paths. It dictates a different type of leader and also the team. You know, I think that in the world of nonprofit, we can no longer afford to operate in silos. Mm-hmm. So we need to talk about the word collaboration. And I mean true collaboration, not exchanging names, but actually sharing resources, shared leadership, shared vision. Oof. And so that's important because funders are looking for that. Because funders, they also have to look at their bottom line. They have so many dollars. And they're looking to invest those dollars in ways that are meaningful and can actually move the needle in the community around certain issues that are impacting that community's ability to move forward. In the world of nonprofit, you have to have individuals who understand that everything that we do, the world of nonprofit has its place in issues like economic development, workforce development as well. Because, you know, in our neighborhoods, we have a slew of individuals who are willing to work, who want to be a part of the workforce, and who are eager to bring their talents and gifts, but there are so many barriers that are in place. Mm-hmm. And so we are charged in the world of nonprofit to eradicate those barriers because our for-profit partners understand that it's not their work. And so they look to us, you know, what are the best skills, the best practices, what does the industry standards say that we should be doing in order to help our neighbors eradicate those barriers so they can join the workforce and be productive and move the entire community forward?
Well, let me ask you something. I mean, now, you have really described a organization or entity or a team that cares about that person. You know, they are equipping these individuals that may take, you know, part in the services or be a part of some of the outreaches or different things that you may have from a programming standpoint. And these individuals are really looked over and cared for and grown and developed. Now, how does that differ from a corporate setting? I mean, how do they approach their people versus how you would approach your people, Miss Amelia?
I think that in because I don't have a lot of experience in the corporate setting, but talking to my corporate partners when we sit at the table and talk about community, I think that the messaging from our corporate partners is that we understand what we need are individuals who can be productive, who can hit the ground running, and help us to move forward. And we understand that some things have to happen before they get to us. And we entrust you to do that. We see them as resources, and you see them as people. Mm-hmm. People that you need to help to undergird, or people that you need to provide resources to become the best they can be. So when they show up in the workplace, they're ready to go. Nice. And so I guess, you know, if I had to, I would probably say when we look at people, we have to see them. We have to see the opportunity, you know, and the possibilities in them. Mm-hmm. That's the lens in which we see it first in the world of nonprofit, the possibilities. And so when they show up in the workforce, it's the actual, it's not the possibilities, it's what they can do. Are they ready to go?
Wow. Excellent. Well, you say you don't have a lot of experience in the corporate sector. I tell you what, I mean, you described that very well. Over the years, I've been in corporate America for a number of years, and also on the other side, you know, I've straddled the fence on both sides, and that has really equipped me to be able to speak into some very unique venues. But what I found is that there are some very subtle differences, and then there are some very polar opposites that take place. And what you described is very true. You know, I mean, by the time someone gets to that corporate arena, they have been equipped. They have been placed into a position where, you know what, they're vying for a spot. And all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, where in the nonprofit sector, I'm even talking about workforce development, some of those things are not there. And it's up to the leaders such as yourself in the nonprofit sector to prepare those individuals, if we're just talking about workforce development, and make sure they're ready to go and send them off, you know, with expectation and preparation, as you described. Well, Miss Amelia, I tell you what, we are covering a lot of information here. A couple of things that, you know, I really want people to understand, okay? The nonprofit setting requires a very unique sort of set of characteristics that you need to have. Now, I want to ask you, what do you think, or what advice would you give someone who is going to get involved in the nonprofit sector? What sort of characteristics should they have, what they need, and what sort of advice would you give them?
I would probably challenge anyone, you know, to thy own self be true. And, you know, really question and be very sure about why you want to enter into this world of nonprofit. You know, it's not, passion is not enough. Yes, passion is needed, because it's certainly not, it's not about the dollars and cents, because the world of nonprofit is not about high salaries and great compensation packages. That's not what's going to happen. So you have to make sure that, yes, you are passionate about being a servant and helping people to grow, and to make sure that this world is a better place, you know, in terms of having resources that are adequate for those who don't know how to navigate the systems. And, you know, so passion is important. But also, I think that you have to have the ability to be able to be analytical in your thought process. And most people would not share that, but I think that's very important, because so many times you can be led by your emotions. And you're not always going to make the best choice. You have to be able to separate and analyze, you know, what is actually going on. What are the layers attached to this issue? Because a lot of the layers, you know, what happens when you run into these barriers in our community that prohibit people from moving forward is not a simple thing. You know, for instance, we'll just talk about transportation for children. You know, locally, you know, we've lost our busing transportation for our children. And so because of the extreme weather we've had, our superintendent has been awesome in terms of just shutting the schools down, saying that absolutely no way can these children get to school, because if you live within a 2-mile radius, then the children have to walk. And so we have a certain population in our community who's outraged. Kids are missed 7 days out of school, it's gonna prolong their school year, blah, blah, blah. But okay, let's talk about it really. The kids do not have adequate transportation to get to school. They can't walk because the temperature is outrageous. They're actually freeze to death, some of them. And then the sidewalks are not cleared off. So the kids can't even walk safely on the sidewalk. They have to walk in the street where there's traffic. And a lot of these children don't have adequate clothing.
My goodness.
So again, let's just say they walk at least 2 miles to school. And then they get to school, they're pretty much frozen. And then, you know, they're getting there late, and so they miss breakfast. And so they're hungry. So they're hungry, cold, and wet.
Well,
you know, and so the answer is not just a bus. The answer is talking about all those issues. And so in the world of nonprofit, you have to have the ability to think beyond what you see.
Absolutely.
Short answer to that.
No, that's great. No, thank you for that. And I, you know, we're getting ready to wrap up here, but I just wanted to make sure our listeners understand that, you know, the advice that you're giving is priceless, because you've been doing this. You've figured out how to navigate, you know, in some respects, this treacherous divide, you know, between services, fundraising, effective events, working with just politics, all the different things that are associated with being in a nonprofit sector. And, you know, I just want to applaud you for that. And I think your advice there at the end, people need to realize, if you're going to go into this, it's not a warm, fuzzy feeling that you're looking for. Yes, those will be there. They will come every now and then. They're not always there, though. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't share that. You have to have not only a passion for people, but you have to have a passion to grow and develop and understand all the subtle nuances that are related to working in the nonprofit sector and serving in the nonprofit sector. So, Miss Amelia, we are almost out of time. If there was one thing that we may have missed today, very briefly, what would you share with our listeners?
I would say that the other piece is being open to having a what I call a business overlay to this work in nonprofit. Because, you know, there is value, our corporate partners, and they can bring that. Do please be open to allowing our corporate partners to bring their own area of expertise to the work. It will help make the infrastructure more solid. Mm-hmm. It will allow us in the world of nonprofit to put those processes and procedures that need to be in place so that we can go out and do the services without worrying about the structure of the organization collapsing because we have not embrace good business practices.
Oh my. Now that's good stuff right there, Miss Amelia. I mean, that's true collaboration. And really, a lot of corporations have a mandate for corporate social responsibility. So, you know, if there are some listeners out there, I would encourage you to check out the Friendly Center. I mean, there's a lot of great things that are going on there. And, you know, that corporate overlay that Miss Amelia talked about, I think most nonprofits, you know, would love to have that sort of collaboration and partnership. And I would encourage you to, like I said, take a look at them and give them a call, you know, partner with them. You can't go wrong in that way. All right. Well, we have reached the end of our show today, but I want to make sure everyone understands that we want to hear from you. If you will go to our website, or better yet, you can go to our blog at www.drjasoncarthen.com. And there's a little difference there. The website is jasoncarthen.com and the blog is drjasoncarthen.com. And we have a featured resource for you. It's called Understanding the Leadership Challenge. And I think that's a great segue from our show today. So also, if you sign up, we will send you the Monday Morning Leadership Minute that will come to your inbox every Monday to encourage you, inspire you, and also challenge you in a lot of ways. And the last housekeeping item, we have our I Speak Life Academy sessions that are going to be coming up in March. We'd love for you to take the plunge, grow yourself from a business standpoint, but also personally as an entrepreneur. You can register by calling at 1-855-227-8436, or you can register on the website at jasoncarthen.com. Now remember, I want you to live your destiny on a daily basis. It's all
Thank
about
you for
that.
Listening to Discover
Take
the Leader
now,
in You with international leadership and business expert Dr. Jason Carthen. Dr. Jason wants to connect with you right now. Check out our blog and visit our website at jasoncarthen.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/jasoncarthenenterprises. Follow us on Twitter at Jason Carthen. Be sure to join us again next week to discover the leader in you.